This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of The Maggie Dawn Show and The Patriotic Millionaires.
Welcome back to another week of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Today we're joined by another member of The Patriotic Millionaires, Dr. Karen Stewart. She's a retired business professor, the former owner and operator of residential care facilities for the elderly, and a 40-year veteran of the financial planning business. She's here today to talk about her time with the PMs and her experience with the federal tax code. Welcome, Karen. It's a real privilege to have you.
Thank you, Maggie. It's nice to be here. It's quite a topic. Let's see what we can cover, right?
Yes, it is quite a topic. That's why we devote every day in these 30 minutes to these issues, because there's so much to get through. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself? How did you make enough money to join the Patriotic Millionaires?
Well, there are three little letters, OPM, other people's money. No, I didn't steal it. No, yet, but I did borrow it. I have excellent credit, always have had. It's very important. And I lived frugally and saved enough, to get into a little piece of property. And when that one grew in value, sold that, bought another piece of property, sold that, bought another piece of property, and it appreciated so much that my husband and I said, let's borrow money on this one, buy the second one. So they both are rising in value. And guess what? The second one was paying itself off because the tenants paid me the rent, and we paid the mortgage, which was to our benefit because our mortgage dropped. So our mortgage was dropping and the property was appreciating. Very good deal. And that's called leverage. And started really small back in 1971. I know I'm somebody's grandmother here. But by the time my husband and I sold out, we had 225 apartments in the Portland, Oregon area, having bought lots of stuff in between. And as those things we bought in between appreciated, in the real estate industry, you can take the profit and roll it into the next property. You don't have to pay taxes on any profitable sale like you do with stocks. So made sense to me.
We're going to drill into that, but I just one little thing popped into my mind, Ms. Karen, as you were speaking. And that is, as you referenced back to when you started in your real estate investments, that it was in the 70s. I have a little saying for you, Ms. Karen, and it's experience without wisdom is just wasted time. So I very much respect your experience and wisdom. Tell everybody how we can benefit from that. I think you just got to the core of it. How does real estate work as a tax avoidance strategy?
Well, it actually doesn't. We didn't get in it specifically for that reason, but boy, did it pay off. So let's just say buy a piece of property for $100,000, and you can determine that the properties that you purchased had $30,000 was for the dirt, $70,000 was for the property, and that $70,000 is for the building, for the plumbing, for the electrical, all that sort of thing. Those things were physically built by humans and will depreciate through time and they will wear out. And so in order to compensate the owners, the tax law says you can take a percentage of that every single year. You don't have to pay it, by the way. It doesn't come out of your pocket, but since it's deteriorating, you get to write it off. In other words, it lowers your tax on the income. So what's odd about it is that over all our experience, it appreciated, even though the property was wasting away, if you want to say. And so that was a real good deal, because toward the end of our time with these apartments, we wrote off $300,000 a year and didn't have to, and it was completely deductible. So we paid no income tax because we didn't have $300,000 worth of taxable income. So we paid no tax. Aha, but there's a little catch. When you sell, if which we did, we don't own it anymore. We decided to pay, our partners were you, the taxpayers. You taxpayers allowed us to use your money for decades. And finally we said, I said, no more, no more messes. It's really quite a process to have that many people in your apartments, So we paid over $1 million in taxes, gratefully, gladly, because you folks had helped us with this endeavor, and we kept the balance, which was plenty enough for us to retire in 2014.
So two things here of interest to me, and no pun intended, and that is...
the other interest.
Yes, the other kind of interest. That is the combination of two things. And I know about depreciation. I did a lot of tax law back in my old days as a lawyer. And what I think a lot of regular folks don't understand is when they think about real estate, they think real estate in general, there are extraordinary times and cycles, certainly. But in general, real estate will be worth more next year than it was this year, all else being equal, absent some big shocks or contractions And certainly over a long term, real estate in 20 years, the same plot is more likely than not going to be worth more than it is today. And yet, from an income tax perspective, there is this legal fiction, and I'm going to say that as a lawyer, it is a legal fiction that the actual building, that is depreciating, and yet this depreciation value each year, this legal made up depreciation with some arbitrary rate, is used to reduce income tax, while, as most of us understand intuitively, especially over the long run, the value of the real estate is going up. So you're able to reduce your year over year income while the overall value of the real estate is increasing. You can always borrow against that value. And if you are not so honorable as you and your husband were, Karen, you could never sell that or put it into a trust. And if you die having never sold it, it will pass to your kids
step up in basis.
So when we talk about somebody who claims to be this like crackerjack real estate investor, I don't know, somebody by the name of Donald Trump is just an example. He claims all kinds of depreciation because his buildings are extraordinarily expensive to build. Are these actual losses? It's not, are they?
Well, it depends. It depends because truly, property that buildings that sit on real estate that is not desirable will eventually crumble and will become worthless, or needs to be scraped and something else built there. Since I'm in California, and this is where I got my start, thank goodness, along the coast of California. San Diego now. I was in Los Angeles when I first started in college. I was still in college. So things appreciate here, but primarily for two reasons here. Highly desirable dirt and the cost of replacing the structures due to all kinds of things. Cost of the building materials, the wages to pay, and also the permits that are required. High desirability of property in a moderate climate is also part of it. So we have a lot of influx. There's a lot of talk about people leaving California, but folks keep coming in.
Yeah, people are always going to want to live where it's 75 degrees most days all year round. That's highly desirable. You're not going to lose value in real estate.
Yeah, it's the old, demand and supply? Demand and supply.
Yes, ma'am.
It is the ultimate economic law. So, but for in other areas that are quite stable, the Midwest, for instance, from my experience, does not have that need. You don't have that physical restraint that we have here. The ocean is only so big, and we have, I don't know, 40 million people in California, more people than I guess the smallest, I don't know, 30.
But Karen, if I can just jump in, is the idea of depreciation, setting the differences in available land and the desirability, we know in the long term, most real estate increases in value. Is the depreciation an actual loss, or is it for all intents and purposes?
Generally speaking, I would say from my experience, it is certainly not a loss, and certainly doesn't come out of the income.
Yes.
But it is a creation. And it's an effort to compensate people whose property actually does depreciate. But if you're in the right market, it's a gift.
Yes. It's a tax gift from taxpayers mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. landowners. What makes you?
But you do. Go ahead. I was just going to say a real quick thing, but
please.
It will bite you in the end because you have to recapture it. But at a low rate. Go ahead.
No problem, folks. This is my very special guest for today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Her name is Dr. Karen Seal Stewart. She's a retired business professor, real estate investor, and registered investment advisor. What made you and your husband, as millionaires, want to advocate for higher taxes for yourself?
Well, I was a working class kid. Literally, my mother was in the soup kitchens in the Great Depression. And my father was an itinerant worker during the Great Depression. Neither even went to high school. And my dad was a union man with Union Oil, wore a hard hat and a lunch pail. And my mother loved FDR and the New Deal and all the things that ushered in to give folks a safety net. And as I learned, I'm also a certified financial planner. And when I got into that training and learned the sections on taxes and experienced the benefits as we filed our own taxes, we said, this isn't really fair. This isn't fair. And add to that other kinds of income that, as long as you don't earn it,
yes,
are tax-free up to the first, $45,000 a person, $90,000 a year, zero taxes on, as you know, long-term capital gains and qualified dividends. I said, this is absolutely not fair. You know, a lot of people could live, well, anybody could live very well on a married couple between that and the standard deduction, well over $100,000 a year, absolutely no federal income tax. But if you earn that, you're going to have to pay taxes.
Yeah, if it's a paycheck, we're going to pay taxes. Yep. If it's this imaginary investment income, we're not. We're going to come back with more with Dr. Karen Seal Stewart, a retired business professor, real estate investor, and registered investment advisor. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Today on Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money, I'm joined by my special guest, Dr. Karen Seal Stewart, a retired business professor, real estate investor, and registered investment advisor. She's also a CFP. By the way, Karen, my dad is also a CFP, so I know exactly what went into all of that. They are grueling licensure exams, to be sure. Don't relive that those times. Not fun. Before the break, we were talking about why you and your husband, coming from middle class beginnings, you invested your way into becoming wealthy and millionaires, and yet you both reached the same conclusion that the way our tax code is structured simply isn't fair to working people. I've always struggled with the idea that a dollar earned from work is taxed more heavily than a dollar earned from invested wealth, right? Like, It's still a dollar. They're both dollars. They've both been earned, and yet we tax the one that comes from actual labor much differently than we tax other dollars. Why do you think that tax breaks are available for investors like you and not for working people?
Well, he who has the gold makes the rules. You know, that's it. Follow the money. You know, that's the thing. Once people get power and they, well, how about lobbying? There's lobbying. There's some bribery in some parts of the world, which I can't imagine, but that does exist. And all sorts of ways that you can convince people that if we have, like trickle-down economics was such a farce, to say that giving people, for instance, you know, somebody who has a, what do you even do with $100 million or a billion or $100, I mean, it's just beyond comprehension to think that that money won't wind up in the Bahamas or in a yacht or in another island that you know, I'm going to have an archipelago after a while because I keep buying so many islands strung out there. I mean, it's just, it is, you know, it is pure greed, power. And sadly, I also taught women's studies. It seems to be a particular affliction of the males in our species. It's like a giant, you know, contest. So,
we'll leave the blank part of that contest unsaid, Karen. Yes.
but the thing is, there's, you know, I got more than you do, you know, it's because it's, if your net worth rises by $50,000 a minute, what is, you know, nevertheless,
Well, Karen, it seems to me that over the last 50 years, and we had a guest on Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money last week, who pointed out that over the last 50 years, what we've done is effectively legalized corruption by declaring that corporations are people and money is speech. And if money is speech, people with the most money get to scream while the rest of us are barely speaking in a whisper. And if you get to scream and yell and you can buy the most amount of speech, it means you can decide who wins elections. And if you can decide who wins elections, because money is speech, you get to tell those elected officials what kind of tax policy there should be. And if we've decided that money is speech and rich people get to yell at politicians and pick them and then tell them what sort of policies we want to have, then rich people are going to tell the politicians that the policies they want to see are the policies that keep them in the driver's seat, that keep them in power, that preserves their wealth. And it creates this unending cycle of corruption.
Interestingly, it's sort of like King Midas, turning everything into gold. And Thomas Piketty, the famous economist from France, kind of, as I recall, he had a comment that said, pretty soon with the folks who have the oligarchs of the world are going to own everything that can be owned. Mm. And Henry Ford was a wise guy way back, a wise person.
Jerk, but a smart businessman, yes.
He was a wise guy and he was a jerk. Anti-Semitic, all sorts of other things. Mm-hmm. However, he had the foresight to say, I cannot sell these vehicles if nobody has the money to buy them. Therefore, I'm going to overpay my workers so that they have the money to buy these Ford cars.
Yes.
So if folks get too greedy over time, there's nobody left to buy their stuff and they've absorbed it all. They've eaten it all. Et cetera. There's no place for people to live. We've got some of this going on right now. No place to live, hardly anything to eat, working for dirt wages, et cetera, cutting out the safety net, you know,
yes.
Calling people who need help, welfare queens, et cetera. Okay, now what are you going to do? You've got it all the marbles, all the chips are in your side of the table, and you killed your economy, and you've killed your consumers. And good for you. You own it now. I guess Monopoly, the game's over.
Yeah, nobody's there to buy it.
Well, and what is this going to do to our community, to our world?
Yes.
And to our country. And it's working on it right now.
We're coming up on time, Karen. So I wanted to ask you one last question. What did the Trump tax cut do for you and your wealthy peers?
Oh, I was just trying to make a, first of all, those of us who are in the in states where there has been a lot of appreciation and housing is very costly, our property taxes almost always exceed $10,000 a year, but now we can only deduct on state and local taxes, SALT, S-A-L-T, we can only deduct $10,000 a year. And it used to be that people could have a very expensive home and maybe deduct $35,000 because they have so much tax, but it's down to 10. That was the only bad thing I can think of. So let's think of large estate breaks, large estate, you can leave a lot more money to your heirs. There's that we lowered the top rate from 39 to 37%. The amount that you can get in long-term capital gains and qualified dividends is adjusted according to the CPI.
Just in summary, Karen, very briefly here, he made it easier for rich people to get even richer. Did he not? Yeah. With the trend, and that's what he proposes to do again. Who are you voting for president, Karen?
Oh, Kamala in a hot second.
We're gonna have to leave it there. That's my very special guest, Karen, Dr. Karen Seal Stewart, a registered investment advisor and a business professor. She's one of the patriotic millionaires. Thanks so much for spending some of your afternoon with us, Karen. I very much appreciate it. When we come back, I got Dom Salvia joining me for. In case you missed it, there are just a couple of things that happened this weekend. We'll talk about it next here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Monday. It's 3:30, and that means, in case you missed it, Dom and I are here to help you out. I'm joined by my good buddy, Dom Salvia. Welcome back, Dom. It's always good to have you.
Hey, Maggie, thank you so much. A pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday, my friend. Folks, we're going to talk about the rally, of course.
The rally.
Cult meeting?
Is that what that was, a rally? It was strange. Madison Square Garden. Yes, strange.
Very weird.
Dark. Very racist, dark. Misogynist,
homophobic,
angry,
xenophobic.
I mean, there's so many phobias.
Oh, should we do like an adjective off? Yeah, right. Hey, everybody, what are your favorite adjectives for whatever the heck that was yesterday?
What do you call that thing?
What do you call it? Little name game here. The name for whatever happened yesterday at Madison Square Garden that Dom and I decide is the best, we'll send you some swag
there
or something.
You go.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But I don't want to start there because there were some weirder. Is it possible?
I don't think so. But okay, but you lead. You go.
I'm going to consider this a challenge, Dominic.
All right.
Can I actually weird you out?
I don't know. I'm pretty weird.
You are, but they're weirder.
Okay.
Let's try, shall we?
Yes.
Have you heard of a right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin? Oh my gosh, I'm just hearing this now. Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt that. Ballot drop box fires apparently having been set in Oregon and
Washington State. Yeah.
Now under, oh my God, that is horrible. What is wrong? Stay on script, Maggie.
Stay on target.
That is so wrong. That is literally robbing people of their votes. Horrifying. Okay. Have you heard of the right wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin?
No.
Well, today is your lucky day, my friend.
Baby. All right, good.
So this guy is all over the magosphere.
Okay.
Right? He is right in line with the J.D. Vances and the Curtis Yarvises and the whole Theo Bro movement, okay? This speaks for itself. This is Joel Webbin giving a sermon, okay? Let's just take a listen, because I would imagine Joel is probably talking about me here, Dominic. Shall we see what he has to say about me?
Let's hear it.
It. This is going
to
be cut number one.
Be more domineering. Be more assertive. Be more confident. Be more this. Be more. What it's saying is be loud. Be loud. But what God's word says is be quiet. You can live quietly. You can speak with a quiet way. This doesn't mean that women don't talk. There's a way of talking and asking questions and being a social butterfly, yet at the same time not having a loud spirit. But the last thing that I want to get to,
it's as
it
pertains
to the seventh commandment, our text today is this: there is a way not only of living loudly, talking loudly, but also dressing loudly.
Oh,
loud dress, loud apparel. Like a golden ring in the snout of a pig, so too it is with a woman who is not modest. There's a way of dressing loudly, a way that Jezebel painted her face and said, look at me.
What?
Look at me. She is being loud.
First of all, Joel, Pastor Webbin, yeah, you, sir. I'm loud. I'm very loud. Sometimes I dress loud. Sometimes I dress quietly. Sometimes I whisper. But what the heck is wrong with you? And who are these people in these pews that are like, yeah, super. I'll just,
What does the Bible say about screaming, crying babies? They're kind of loud. You hear the baby in the background the whole time?
Yeah.
I mean, little baby Jesus was crying as that dude was talking.
Because it's such
nonsense. I guess I would interpret that folks like you, women like you, you're a pig,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a golden ring
I'm like the right. Whether I'm dressing loudly like Jezebel or speaking loudly out of my place.
I mean, really, that's what it comes down to.
Get in your place, woman.
You need to know your place. And according to this guy, and no, I haven't heard that, but this is familiar talk from some of those kind of folks, that women need to be put in their place, and you're there to serve the man. It's the patriarchy, baby.
Yeah.
Welcome to it.
Shh.
Oh, I'm cutting. Yeah.
Hey, no,
shush
that's me.
That's right.
You shush me. Yes.
Speak when spoken to. I mean, come on. But this does appeal to a certain amount of people, right? I guess.
Men.
And more men.
Men out there. This is not what masculinity is about. This is not it. This is not what being a man is about. In fact, it's what weak men say.
He's justifying this behavior, this bigotry, through the Bible. This is his interpretation. You must be quiet.
Quiet.
Yes, quiet.
Joel, I'm yelling because you didn't hear me the first time when I said I deserve the right to vote. Right. Oh, wait a minute. On women's right to vote, Pastor Joel has some thoughts.
He does. Let's hear that.
Let's run cut two.
Be more domineering. Be more assertive. Be more confident.
For the record, you know, yeah, I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed. I think that because, well, first and foremost, because I'm a Christian.
What?
You know, and that is the Christian position. Oh, my gosh. That you're saying that, yes, that is the Christian position, is that households should not be divided against one another. So it's not just elevating a male vote, but it's elevating the household vote. We're saying that that society, if you break it down to the basic building block, is not atomistic as individuals, but molecular, being households. That the way that God sees humanity is he breaks them down to families.
Oh, I'm so glad he knows the mind of God. I mean, what would I sit here and do otherwise? Oh, wait, what? If there's the divided house, then maybe the man should listen to the woman. I mean, you could do that, right?
If we go through the history of humankind, I'd say I'd probably... The women bear out, maybe pun intended, to be the better, more reliable set of judgments than do men. I mean, just to make it clear, he says that the ninth opposition to the 19th Amendment is Christian. Can we just hear that very front part of the cut again, lest anybody get confused?
And just for the record, you know, yeah, I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed. I think that because, well, first and foremost, because I'm a Christian.
And he rationalizes this, like, women, shut up, and stop voting, because a household shall not be divided against itself. Dear Pastor Joel, I don't think my opinion, just like yours, spoken loudly, I'm sorry, I don't think the Bible was talking about people voicing different political opinions. I don't think that's what they meant about a household divided against itself. Self-determination would seem to be a fundamental element of human dignity. And I mean, behind all this and behind the yucks, Dom, what this guy's saying and what the MAGA cult says to women is you are not fully participatory human as men are. I mean, like, that's what it is.
That's absolutely what he's saying. And he's saying it proudly.
It gets worse.
Does it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it does.
Is it possible?
It's possible. Let's take cut three.
You perjure yourself by bearing false witness, accusing somebody else, whatever the penalty would have been for that person, had they been found guilty, then that penalty should fall on your head for falsely accusing them. So if you accuse in a court of law, falsely accuse someone of murder, and it turns out in the final analysis that that person is not guilty of murder, and neither are you, but you falsely accuse them of murder, and the penalty for murder should be capital punishment, life for life, then you, even though you have not committed murder, because you falsely accused someone else for murder and the penalty for that crime would have been death, you should be put to death. That's what the text is saying. And if that were to occur and the just penalties were to be enforced, you, the false accuser, is now put to death, and that's a public death. It's a public sentence, publicly carried out. Then the citizens of these United States of America, you know what they would do? Hashtag Me Too would end real fast. How do you false accusing, playing the victim when you're actually not? Like, you know how to end that real fast? All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? What?
Yeah.
What? I mean, even his...
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there. The accusation of sexual abuse by a woman against a man would not result in a death penalty.
No.
Right? I mean...
Oh, you know, should we ask Harvey Weinstein?
And aren't actually charges brought by...
a district attorney?
Or prosecutors.
Hmm. Interesting, isn't it?
And then aren't they, you know, and then it's determined by a jury of peers. We have a justice system in this country.
I wonder if this guy... I'm sorry to interrupt, yes, but yes. It's just a question occurs to me. I wonder if this guy thinks that wives can't be raped by their husbands.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because, you know, a house divided and all that.
I mean, come on, honey. You know
and
what
then
I'm
if
saying?
A wife ever alleged that her husband raped her, you know, like Donald Trump's now deceased wife.
Which, of course, couldn't happen
and then recanted.
In that marriage.
Yeah.
Then...
We've gone down a rabbit. This
wow.
guy, again...
Literally says public yes. execution of women. Let's not gloss that part over.
If they've falsely accused a man of rape. This is the natural law, Old Testament-y wingnut of the Christian nationalist evangelical right.
You're
yeah.
like where you shouldn't mix the wools and linens? That Old Testament?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
No usury.
No shellfish?
Just to
no
re-
red lobster?
Just to recap, women, shh.
Shh.
No voting.
Don't be too loud.
And don't go accusing any men of rape because... Unless it can be absolutely proven, which query what Joel thinks that looks like, you're going to just be put to death. I wonder what that would... Why is he so opposed to Me Too? Like, shouldn't good men of God not be raping women?
I mean, generally, I think...
But what we should do is make sure... Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Just a couple.
Hey,
just a couple.
You know where I heard about stuff like this happening? Like, you know, under ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And the Taliban.
Oh, like Sharia law and that kind of thing?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Canon law. That's totally better.
Well, it's because Joel said it.
Joel. And only a few women. I mean, we're not gonna murder all the women.
Just one or two of them.
Well, and preferably the really loud ones.
The really loud.
You know, the ones with
makeup. Hey, do I rate?
You absolutely. I was gonna get there. The really loud ones with the makeup and the bright shirts.
Yeah, and the bright shirts and the pins and the things. Uh-huh. You know, I had to accuse a man of attempted rape once and testify in trial and fly back to Denmark to do it, and he got convicted, but not sentenced. I don't know, Dom. How does it all sort out for a loud woman? Who's, you know, again, accused men of attempted sexual assault, also recently been publicly groped by a guy. I got to go deal with that garbage. I mean, seriously, Joel. And this is the guy that the MAGAs and J.D. Vance, it's these whole Theo bro
wing. So help me understand that. I mean, I hear these kinds of things. It's like, oh, it sounds like some crazy ass, you know, YouTube pastor guy.
Yeah.
Lots of those out there. And forgive me.
Oh, no. He's in the MAGA fold.
Oh, he is.
Okay, he's in the MAGA fold.
So he is like advising some of these folks?
Or they like poster child.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
well,
that says
a lot.
Surrogate. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just to be sure, women, stop dressing like hoes. And no more right to vote for you, because the man is the head of the host.
Repeal the 19th Amendment.
Repeal the, because that's what Christianity requires. Gee whiz. Hey, Pope Francis, remember when you said, you know, it's the lesser of two evils? What do you think about this guy? Does this sound like the lesser of two evils? And yeah, let's execute women publicly who accuse men of rape, but they can't totally prove it absolutely as adjudged by men. And I'm sure this will sort out
by
fine.
Joel. What's Joel's last name again?
Joel Webbin. W-E-B-B-O-N.
Joel Webbin.
Folks, it's In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia. He joins me every Monday at 3:30. We're going to talk more when we come back about whatever the heck the freaking rally was in Madison Square Garden last night with all of the MAGAs, Hulk Hogan et al. If you want to name the rally, just text or call 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll give you the props on air for the best name, call out, adjective, what have you. If you make us laugh about it, you'll be in the running. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Monday's edition of In Case You Missed It with my little buddy and your friend, Dom Salvia. He's on after the Maggie Dawn Show every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. But I'm always so glad to have him here with me and each and every one of you on Mondays at 3:30. Thanks so much, Dom. I'm glad I got to blow your mind.
I rarely do.
I usually am
up on it. I know the topics generally, you know, do a lot of reading throughout the weekend and the day. I had not heard that dude, and you kind of, I did miss it, and he did blow my mind.
You're welcome.
I'm not surprised, but I mean, do they not get out much? Is there not much social interaction with these folks? If the places I go, and the people I talk to and things I do and see, that kind of talk would be very much frowned upon.
I want to get to the rally sound, and we're going to go through a bunch of it kind of like rapid fire because it's almost like it builds on its shockingness. Here's my question. Have these men, are they so ill-confident? Are they so afraid? Have they never... are there not enough amazing, awesome, strong women around? Like, what happened, dude? Like, what, you know, when I think of love and like what you would want in a partner, a long-term partnership, I want someone that stands with me on equal footing, right? That I have an equal amount of respect, you know, that this is a respectful, reciprocal relationship. Like, dude,
I mean, that sounds great, Maggie, but God told me not to. So shush. but thank you for your opinion.
Right. folks, if you want to name the rally, give us a call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Bill from Green Bay sharing a very interesting video with us. We're going to put it in the show notes. It's called the Bad Faith Documentary. Thanks, Bill from Green Bay. Michaela from West Bend saying that rally last night was the Klan Clown Convention. All with K's. Bravo, Michaela. You're winning so far. Kurt from Madison pointing out religion is the problem, not the solution. Listen, I'm not going to go so far as to say that. And Dom, I respect your atheism. We've talked about faith on this show a lot. I hate, frankly, the terrible rap that men and women of good faith that are Christians and evangelicals are getting from this kind of stuff.
And they need to stand up to it then.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Billy Graham's granddaughter last week saying, this is an abomination. Yeah. My grandfather would be sickened by this. USSR recruitment rally from the 715. Mm-hmm. Ham from Appleton pointing out that Elon's hat... Last night, he's declared himself like Dark Brandon, Dark MAGA. He used the same font that the Nazis used to put out all their propaganda papers. Like, that's what Make America Great Again was written in. I did see that myself, Ham.
Oh, come on.
It looks like the Nazi font. Like, I didn't know there was a Nazi font. Elon did, and he used it for his MAGA hat. Go figure. Okay, let's take some sound. This is probably the most infamous soundbite from yesterday, so we'll start here, but I don't think it's actually the worst. This is deeply offensive, and they're freaked out about it because it may turn off Latino and Puerto Rican voters. But let's take a listen. This was a comedian opening up for Donald Trump last night at MSG.
A lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Oh, charming.
Okay, all right. Okay, we're getting there. Again, normally I don't follow the national anthem, everybody. A lot going on.
Maybe you shouldn't tell the joke. Same comedian, he also said this.
I welcome migrants to the United States of America with open arms. And by open arms, I mean like this.
And he's gesturing like, don't come.
It's wild. And these Latinos, they love making babies, too. Just know that.
Oh, jeez.
They do. They do.
Gets worse.
There's no pulling out. They don't do that. They come inside, just like they did to our country.
I mean, what?
Wow, he's even crashing and burning at the Nazi rally.
Yeah. These people were vetted. Guaranteed somebody read his bits and went, yep, go ahead, bro. You're good to go. Next up, this is some crazy dude. I couldn't even figure out who this is, but confirmed he is indeed was on the stage. Let's take a listen to this.
In fact, she is the devil, whoever screamed that out. She is the Antichrist.
Talking about Kamala. Yep, totally. This is all very normal, very above board. How about this one? This is a Jewish guy speaking at the rally yesterday. This is cut 22.
Listen to me from Jerusalem. They really do this. Like all of you, listen to me, all of you. I get back and they go, Sid, you want to speak at this MSG thing? I go, sure. Out of character for me to speak at a Nazi rally. I was just in Israel, but I took the gig.
Nazis as punchlines. Okay.
But acknowledging the fact that there was an actual Nazi rally at MSG in the 30s in this country.
1939.
Which is stunning to me, but at least those on stage are giving it a little reference.
And then we got to listen to Dr. Phil. We're just going to skip to cut 24 because it's weird.
By the way, we didn't choose the name for that by random. Merit Street Media. This country was built on hard work, added value, and talent, not on equal outcome, not on DEI.
Shut.
This country was built on hard work.
And slavery.
Oh, yeah.
And enslaving human beings and forcibly... Shut up, Dr. Phil.
Those slaves did work hard, though.
You're not... he's not even a real doctor.
Oh, come on.
We got to leave it there. I got so much
There's
sound.
There's so much more.
Thank you to the Maggie Dawn Show production team. We got Chris. We got Luke. It was a village today. Calvin. Everybody helping out. Zommers in Madison. Folks, you got Dom Salvia with the Dom Salvia Show up next. Never a boring moment. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to leave it there. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. but it's always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.